boxes on the hillside.
Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You know, when you go on vacation and you perhaps rent a house or rent a hotel room even, you get bad Wi-Fi, you can't get cell phone service. If you're going to buy a house or an apartment, does that matter too?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, 98% of America all has cell phones,
yeah.
And that's one of people's bugaboos, if you will. Everyone's pretty much getting rid of the landlines,
mm-hmm.
So service is really important. And you see problems in especially like big city areas, Steve, where you've got the big buildings and lots of concrete. A lot of times you would think it's the woods or the rural areas, but
mm-hmm.
even in the cities, you have problems with cell connections. And living in our own town here, there's places that I'll drive and I'll have a bad zone, or even in my own house. I know not to talk on the phone in my kitchen. I have to go to the living room or another area.
Yeah, you'd think that if you were living in a city like Manhattan, that'd be wired to the hilt and you could get service anywhere, but I guess you can't.
No, and I know that they're trying to sell add-ons to do certain things for low emissions and pick up stronger cell signals in order to combat this problem, but you'd be surprised how many people will look at houses, turn on their cell phones to see what kind of readings they get.
A lot of people work from home, so you've got to have good Wi-Fi service, good cable service, and that's going to be a deal breaker if you can't have that.
That's right.
All right, good. Now, you've also talked to me about a recent report that came out, and I love the title. It's Regrets. I have a few, and it's the top buyer's remorse issues. So occasionally a home buyer suffers post-purchase regret. What are some of these remorse issues that people can have?
Well, topping the list is my house is too big.
What do you mean?
Now, what happens is, they go from a modest house and they go into the big house and then they start getting the bills. They realize it's that much more for electric and heating, that much more to clean, that much more for gas.
Also, what about your current furniture?
Right, exactly. Then the furniture. You come from a smaller house going to a big house, you don't have enough furniture, or your furniture is dwarfed for the room.
It's so, like you're in a dollhouse. You got a little dollhouse furniture.
Exactly.
Compared,
right? And it's not unusual. We go into some of these big homes and there's no furniture. The house is sparsely furnished.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
Okay.
Number two is layout awkwardness. It may sound neat that you have an island kitchen, but it doesn't always work that well. You still have that concept, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called the triangle, where you want the sink, the refrigerator, and the stove in the shape of a triangle. So when you're in your kitchen looking at a prospective house, make sure it has that triangle, the good workspace. Just because it has a kitchen doesn't mean it's a good layout.
Yeah, so go in there and imagine you in that kitchen trying to move between these different items to make sure there's a clear path and it's comfortable.
Right, right. And then here's something that is not totally unusual. A lot of times everything is trendy, and somebody may take out the bathtub in favor of a shower, and that's the latest trend, and builders are doing that. Well, these are decisions you may regret after the fact, and that's expensive to reverse. You might find, say, later on you go to resell it, and you're selling it to a young family, and they want a tub for their children.
Right.
Or you would just want a tub to soak in after a tough day. So try to avoid the trends, and there's a ton of trends. That's just one example.
Oh, well, I totally agree with that. Anybody who knows me knows that I love the tub. So what are some others?
You love the pool at first, but then again, it's more of a maintenance thing. You come to find out that it's expensive to run a pool, especially if you're up north. You have to open it, close it. That's like $600 to open a pool, and you have one or two people ever use it. So think through it before you jump into big items.
Well, in Florida, you've got the pump going all the time. You've got to put the correct chemicals in all the time. It's an ongoing cost for electricity and for chemicals and for someone perhaps to do it. And really, how often are you really using the pool? So
right.
It looks nice and they say it's good for resale. Is having a pool still a good idea for resale?
It is in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the rest of the country, but South Florida, everyone wants to have a pool. I mean, I would not add a pool just for resale. And if you want a pool, put one in. But a lot of people seek out. And I think it's an age thing. Once you get to a certain age, then people are like, oh, tired of my pool. My husband's ready to fill in the pool with dirt.
That's kind of how I feel. We moved into a house a couple of years ago, and we have yet to go in the pool. And I think about, you know, I hear that pump going all the time.
And
it's like,
electricity.
Could I make like some kind of a garden out of it? Or, you know, maybe put exotic fish in it or something.
Exactly. And then try to avoid, you know, that trendy look. You know, the ice white appliances and steel countertops.
Oh, yeah.
All of those are cute for a while, but over time, you're better off, you know, sticking with a classic, well-designed home that are timeless.
Yeah, be tasteful,
timeless,
right?
Features.
Yeah. Okay. On another subject now, there's a report that buying a home today is 48% more affordable than in 2006.
Yeah. When you run the numbers, and there's a couple of things you have to factor in all of this. Home prices, you know, continue to outpace wage growth in the majority of the local markets.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, when you look at all of this, you also have to factor in what the interest rates are and, you know, the values of the homes have fallen. So when they've recalculated all of this, they're showing it to be 48% more affordable.
Hey, do you remember what mortgage rates were back in 06? Any recollection?
I really would be guessing.
6%,
maybe? I was going to say between 6 and 7. I don't think they're as high as 7.
Yeah. So let's say 6%, and today they're under 4.
Right.
So that's a big savings on a monthly basis for principal and interest.
That's right.
Right. So that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's not that the home values are 48% less. It's the affordability.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's also one of the reasons that the stock market is worth more is because people or companies or investors can borrow money and pay up for other companies in order, but it costs them the same that it would have cost them 9 years ago.
Right.
Right. But they can pay more because interest rates are less. So that's a phenomenal, it's called asset inflation, so to speak, and low interest rates are something that does that. Well, we're unfortunately out of time. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton and can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.